So these mountains contain fortified strongholds. And they would do that so that if somebody tried to attack the city, the defenders would have the higher ground. In a battle, who has the advantage, the lower ground or the higher ground? The higher ground. So mountains can often represent strongholds because that's what they would build on mountains. And in a kingdom context, I see Jesus saying, when you come across this stronghold of the enemy, and it looms over you, this mountainous stronghold that has people trapped inside, where the captives need to be set free and the prisoners need to be loosed, and you come against that thing, if you will command it in the authority of Jesus Christ, be removed and cast into the sea. Believing that you have those things, you will have whatever you ask. I think this is pregnant with the promise of casting down strongholds in people's life and seeing the kingdom of God set the captives free. That's what he's called us to do, isn't it? Didn't he stand up in the synagogue and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, loose the prisoners? I believe he's talking here about destroying the strongholds of the enemy and casting them into the sea. I love when that happens. Praise God. We see the same authority. Luke 17:5. I love this. This just, oh man. I'm sorry. You'll just have to tolerate me. I'm sorry. Luke 17:5 to 7. And the apostle said to the Lord, what? Increase our faith, Lord. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea. And it would obey you. Wow. You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be cast into the sea. Stop laughing. And it would obey you. Heather, what does that look like? Sarah, you ever had a mulberry tree obey you? No. What does that look like? I mean, Jesus said it. I ain't even had no pine tree obey me, man. I've had them grow where I didn't want them. What is up with that? He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can command that tree to move and it will obey. Well, what is God telling us here? Not 100% sure. What does it look like when a mulberry tree obeys you? I'll tell you this. Maybe it's something like this. Back in 2 Samuel, David was attacking the Philistines. And God said, don't go right up in the front of the battle. Go up around them. Sneak up on them from behind. And then wait by the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then go forward. Then advance, because the Lord is going to take the battle for you. The Lord is going before you. Who all do you think was marching up in the tops of the mulberry trees? Say it louder. Angels, of course. Who else can march in the tops of mulberry trees? So I think when you're engaged in that warfare and you see this thing and you command that mulberry tree be rooted up and cast into the sea, I think some of them dudes that are up there marching around in the top of the trees will hear that command, take it as their assignment, and reach down and pluck that tree out the ground and cast it into the sea. We are partnered with all the host of heaven in advancing the kingdom of God. We can expect that as we give authoritative, prophetic, authoritative commands by the power of the Spirit of God, as God reveals His directions to us and we speak it out with the authority of Jesus Christ and make those commands, that His angels are then dispatched to carry out whatever it is we have said. He said, command the mulberry tree, and them angels marching around up there says, all right, sounds good to me. I bet an angel can throw some mulberry trees in the water. Praise God. Man, talk about authority. Wow. They are ministering spirits. Doesn't mean we worship them. It means they're there to help. They're there. They are the army of God. They're the host of God. Carlos Anacondia, the great evangelist in South America who has seen multiplied thousands of people come to Christ, says, I don't understand you American, you North Americans up there. You know, you really don't put any emphasis on this at all. He says, I don't do anything unless I ask the Lord to release his angels first. They're the ones that bind the enemy. They're the ones that minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So I think there's some strength, some teeth behind those commands when God directs us to make those commands. God has all of heaven behind us to ensure that it gets done. That makes me want to minister to some folk. That makes me want to go out there and see some folk who are all bound up and oppressed by the enemy and set them free through the power of Jesus Christ. I've got all of heaven's resources behind me. That's exciting. That makes these promises come alive. Glory to God. So last thing as I close, why would Jesus give such a enthralling, beautiful, exciting promise in the context? Let me start that question again. Give you time to digest. Why would Jesus give such a beautiful, exciting promise as he did in the context of cursing a fig tree and making it die? You'd think he would say, all you have to do is say to this little seed, grow, and it'll turn into a beautiful tree. Why would he make such a beautiful promise in the light of cursing a tree and making it die? Here's what I think. Because we are engaged. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. I think it goes right back to demolishing strongholds of the enemy. That's his purpose in that. I mean, I think it's more than that. Yes, there's more to that passage, and I don't have time to preach about it. But I think that's a big part of that. If we are abiding in him and he's abiding in us, we can literally command the weapons of the enemy to be dismantled and demolished, and God will move heaven and earth to do that very thing. That means when I'm sitting there and I'm praying for some dear, precious soul who is facing death because her body is being eaten up by cancerous cells, that means I can take the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and prophetically command those cancer cells to die, to wither up and go away, and I can have confidence that God will move heaven and earth to see that thing removed out of them. That's beautiful. That means I can take the authority of Jesus Christ when I see somebody who's the innocent victim of a generational curse that has gone down from parent to child to parent to child, and they are bound up by that thing. If they are a believer in Jesus Christ, I can proclaim the blood of Jesus over them that has redeemed them from their curse, and on the basis of the truth and the promises of God, command that thing off of them and have confidence that God is going to back up those commands with power. And then when we pray to break those generational curses off of people, we can have confidence and excitement that they are going to be set free in Jesus' name. That means that when I see people who are bound up in their financial state because the enemy has been just attacking them and tying up their finances and wreaking havoc with their money, and they're trying the best to just live a good life and pay their bills, but they just seem to be met with every demonic, satanic obstacle along the way, that we can come alongside of them as the body of Christ and proclaim the riches of our inheritance in the Lord and prophetically declare and command those demons to let them go and expect to see those financial strongholds crumble into the dust. I love that kind of stuff. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God's big guns, man. Someone ought to write a song about that. Man. That means when you see a person, you're trying to share the gospel with them. You're trying to minister the truth that leads to everlasting life, and a spirit of confusion is on them, and they just don't seem to be able to focus, and their thoughts are distracted, and their heart is just like a stone. that you can take authority over that demonic force and in the name of Jesus Christ command that thing to lift off of them and expect to see that clarity come into their eyes and into their face and expect the Lord to be working on their heart to open their doors to receive the truth of God that will set them free and save them for eternity. That's, I believe, the power behind what Jesus is promising us. In a kingdom context, he says, go and nothing will be able to stand against you. Command it and it will be done. It's my will. For this reason, the Son of God would manifest. Why was the Son of God manifest? So that he could destroy the works of the devil. Man, that fires me up. Bob.
Before I first started doing 5 days of grace, we had all kinds of fear.
Yeah.
That passage that first confused us, we had other believers that would sit there and say, oh, I'm going to go home and pray for the water. Well, God's not going to reward you for sin, period. He's going to reward you with something for something else.
Yeah.
It's the devil. If you win the lottery, it's the devil.
Praise God. Amen, brother. Amen. I love the passion in your voice, man. We've seen some good stuff lately, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. We are the church. We are the ecclesia of God. When you look at the word church in the New Testament, that Greek word, ecclesia. Did you know this? I'm just going to go just a teeny little bit further. Just a teeny bit. That word ecclesia was not, it was used a great deal in the Palestinian Greek-Roman culture of that day. But it was not originally a religious term. What was the ecclesia in the Greek and Roman times? It was a called out assembly of the citizens of that state to come together and discuss and issue decrees and delegations. It was the ruling, governing body of citizens that comes together to govern through the power delegated to them. Are you smelling what I'm stepping in? As Bodie Bauckham would say. You see where I'm going with this. Jesus used a term that hadn't been used before when he said, I'm going to build my society. It just doesn't get it. I am going to build my ecclesia, my ruling, governing, authoritative kingdom church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, the gates of hell was an authoritative governing body too. As we said before, the gates of the city is where the rulers of the city come to meet and discuss and legislate. That's where the elders sat in those cities, in the walled cities. The rulers would come and govern from the gates of the city. Those gates of hell are the schemes and the plans and designs of Satan and all of his demons. But Jesus said, I got more power than that. The people that are coming in my name are coming with my power And the gates of the enemy, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the power of my ecclesia, my church, my kingdom people. Because my power is invested in them. I'm sorry, man. I am born for revival. It's in my DNA, man. I got to go for it because I just can't live without it. This is life. This is fire in my bones. This is life to my soul. This feeds me because it glorifies the one in whom I have fallen head over heels in love with. What a God we serve. What a Lord. What a King. What a Savior. What a Deliverer. What a Jesus we serve. We ought to be fired up to tell somebody about our Jesus, because look what He has done for us.